barbecue.
Looks like barbecue.
Is that free barbecue?
Shit, don't be free.
Shit, we gonna eat.
You crazy? This ain't your family.
You black. We all family.
Bird.
Especially when it comes to barbecue. I took some asses once to white boy.
Listening to WRFN LP Pasquo. This is the Fringe Radio Show, and I'm Al D. Radio Free Nashville is a nonprofit organization based in Pasquo, Tennessee. If you go to radiofreenashville.org, you can make tax-deductible contributions there. Again, this is sponsored by Nashville Fringe Festival. If you go to nashvillefringefestival.org, you can sign up for their newsletter. You'll get a free copy of their seasonal music sampler. It has music by artists of all different genres in the Nashville area. You can also find out about upcoming events they sponsor. So check that out. Again, I'm Al D. I'm an MC, hip-hop producer, and promoter in Nashville, Tennessee. If you go to aldwords.com, you can check out my music. If you go to meantforthemilkcrate.com, you can find out about events I'm involved with. We're broadcasting here with my partner E.T.
What up, though?
You can check him out. You can check him out at etgodsoul.com. And our guests in the studio today are DJ Wiggs, who's got a new beat tape out called Barbecue and Baked Beans.
That's what we're listening to, right?
Yeah, so that's what's playing now, and it's collab with a bunch of other producers out of Knoxville. And also in the studio with us is New Bang Productions. Or can you introduce yourself, actually, as your name or where you go by?
Yeah, it's Serfio, a.k.a. New Bang, New Bang Beats. I got a tape, too, called Valley of the Tiki Beats.
Yeah, appreciate that. So, like E.T. said, we're playing this barbecue and baked beats now. And we were just going to kind of just talk over it and let it play at various points. So, you know, we're getting it started here, but... just to get us started, tell us just a little bit about like beat maker, producer culture, you know, how you got into it and, you know, where you sort of see that going and everything.
This is DJ Wiggs. I started as a DJ, and I've been doing that way longer actually than I've been making beats. And something I was always fascinated with, from the very beginning was, finding sample sources and collecting those on wax. And I started collecting those almost from the very outset of DJing and started building a record collection. And, you know, I always had my favorites, you know, like there was always producers who I gravitated towards, you know, Primo, Pete Rock, Ninth Wonder, people like that.
Good collection right there.
it's decent company for sure.
Right?
And, it wasn't until Dilla that I actually really started to champion somebody and like, it was more than just a sound that I gravitated towards. A lot of people, it's become very fashionable to wear those J. Dilla changed my life t-shirts, you know. But I can say with complete honesty that J. Dilla actually did change my life because he made me want to make beats. And he really, you know, and his inspiration, particularly on Donuts, brought me to where I'm at right now. And so it was kind of a natural transition from DJ to beatmaker. You know, we're very hands-on. We physically manipulate music with our hands, and you know, thumping on pads isn't really that much different than scratching records when you kind of think of the dynamics of it. I already had the record collection full of a whole bunch of, you know, breaks and funk, reggae, soul, jazz. So it was a natural transition for me.
So you guys, we talked a little bit off air, and you both brought us cassettes, which is, you know, as you put it, just an antiquated way to deliver your music nowadays. So I'm assuming that sort of ties in with this beat making culture. So tell me a little bit about, you know, why you're putting out cassettes and about sort of more that culture in general.
Well, you know, just because the word beat tape itself, of course, it, you know, came from, you know, people putting on tapes before they had CDs and then the digital delivery systems now. But there's always, you know, in a lot of these underground scenes, not just hip hop, but the tape kind of still, you know, still maintained a little bit, even though, you know, everyone really wants to put out wax, but of course it's so expensive.
Right.
And there's been a really cool revival, and especially with the B-tape culture, in actually putting it on cassette. And so you kind of have this medium that is, you know, that has all this, these cultural roots to it. And also is kind of like, I feel like it's kind of like our thing. So it's real cool, real fun. You still got the tactile experience, but you don't have to drop bread like for the wax. And it's a more immediate, faster thing. And of course, the nostalgia factor, especially for people who actually grew up with tapes.
Yeah. I remember making my first stuff with a boombox on one side, a boombox on the other side.
Of course.
You hit play on one and record on the other. And then my dad was a PE teacher, and he got a karaoke machine one time for class. So that was like the best thing ever. You know, you can do it all right there on the karaoke machine. But yeah, I'm no stranger to putting out cassettes. I put out a few myself. And you're right, the nostalgia factor, just holding it right here in my hand, you know, just sort of takes me back to a time in my life that I really enjoyed and kind of was paying dues back then. So much respect to you guys for the cassettes, absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm stoked to have them too, because I was just saying, I have my grandfather's stereo and amp and, you know, receiver, record player and dual cassette in my kitchen, and it actually gets used more than most of the other sound equipment in my house because I'm always in the kitchen hanging out. But it'll be nice to have these beat tapes, you know, just sitting here chilling by the tape deck there. So I'm stoked about that.
So
but while we're talking about the beat tape culture and all that, I wanted to hit on the beat tape co-op you guys told me about. Yes. So yeah, I want to jump on that.
Yeah, beat tape co-op is probably the best resource out there right now for beat tape culture. It's run by a guy named John Memorex out of California. And,
you said Memorex?
Yeah, John
like
Memorex.
The tapes, Memorex.
Right?
That's dope.
Caught that. So, I mean, basically, he does just a completely selfless service for beatmakers and producers, in so much that people send their projects over. It's kind of a blog style website. There's about 5 or 6 new projects on there each day. Most of them are virtual unknowns to most, I mean, even most like underground indie hip hop fans. And then some are bigger names, just kind of depending. And, you know, they all get equal footing on his site. And, you know, he's somebody that it was an honor to send him a cassette and actually see my project show up on his site.
Yeah.
I check it almost daily. I probably check it more than probably anything else on a daily basis. So yeah, pick up John out there in California. Beat Tape
Co-op. The Beatmaker social media site.
Yeah.
It's more traffic than Facebook from Wigs.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, shout out John Memorex, man. I appreciate
That's
it.
Fresh, man. That's fresh. And I'm going to shout out myself one time, because we got a mixtape coming out at the next installment of For the Milk Crate. That's Saturday, September 8th. Now, we're not putting it out on cassette. We just call it a mixtape anyway. But it's we do have it on CD, and it is included with the cover there. We also got a real dope lineup, which includes Young Quail, Case Arnold, Foundation, and Daisha McBride. You know, we just got the posters done for that, so I'm stoked about that. We're dropping a mixtape, even though we're kind of faking the funk a little as compared to our guests here today.
Like, you might have some tapes. Maybe we can get some worked out for you.
Right.
Man. Right. We were just talking about that. We're going to have Wigs dub them one at a time in real time off his laptop for us.
I heard you had a local celebrity do the mix for that.
Oh, yeah. I did the mix myself for the Milk Crate tape.
D-A-L-D.
It probably would have been doper if we had Vamp do it, but, you know, I just did it at my house in my spare time, so it is what it is. I picked all the tracks, though, so I'm stoked about it.
So who are maybe some of the other artists that they can hear on the actual mixtape?
Oh, see, you
I
gotta
say that with quotations.
Yeah, you gotta, oh, man.
You gotta wait for the show.
Yeah, you gotta wait. That's okay. Not announced yet.
Hey. You know what I appreciate about that is you actually mixed your mixtape.
I did actually mix my mixtape.
You know, like, we've gotten really, really lost over the idea of what actually constitutes a mixtape.
Right. Well, I mix my albums like a mixtape.
That's what I was going to say. I think everything out there is put
All
out
my official releases in Nashville actually are mixed like a mixtape.
Yeah, big up Rate.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. He got me started on the first couple of those, for sure. You
know, so that show is this Saturday at Cobra.
No.
No, not this Saturday.
It's
next Saturday. No, it's this Saturday. No,
what's
next
the date?
Saturday.
September 8th. Already
September 8th. That's right. Next Saturday. All right. Cool. I get my dates mixed up.
Somewhere in the time continuum.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, just go to milkforthemilkcrate.com.
No, we're going to be in Cincinnati next weekend. And right. Check out Elroy the Boy at Basement East for the Break the Cycle show. He's got a bunch of dope MCs on Saturday and Sunday. This coming weekend, actually.
Big so, the question in Nubang, we were talking about this a little bit off air, but when you're making a beat tape, is it strictly to just put the beats out there? Are you trying to get artists to work with you as well? Are you trying to let that beat tape just shine on its own? What's your thought process when going through that?
Pretty much, I like letting them, you know, stand on their own, and it gives me a chance to really I really like conceptual stuff, so you know, it's cool to kind of make everything thematic, and kind of, especially mine, is trying to take you on like a journey.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm known for getting too busy on a lot of stuff, so I like just, you know, making crazy beats that probably can't even fit an MC on, and just letting them stand on their own, be their own form of entertainment too.
Yeah, I want to build on that for a second, because I think that's one of the really cool things about beat tapes is they allow the beat maker that opportunity to shine on their own. A lot of people right. feel like we're just responsible for creating backdrops for MCs, mm-hmm. and that's dope. I'm not taking anything away from that, yeah. But a lot of people feel like beat makers' work is incomplete until an MC steps yeah. on mm-hmm. it, and what we're basically trying to put forth is an entire project that doesn't need anyone else to complete it, where the creativity and artistry can stand on their own. Like, we're trying to follow in the footsteps and stand on the shoulders of people like Shadow and Dilla, who have given us some of the greatest instrumental hip-hop projects of all time. That's what we're both trying to do with these. It doesn't mean we don't want to work with MCs. Right. We do. I love working with MCs. I know Nubank's probably worked quite a few, I believe. Yeah. Part of the idea for the tape was, you know, for people to hear and be like, word, I'd like to get one of this guy's beats for my project.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we do want you to take the entire project as it is, as a whole. It's not really meant to be altered or added to.
Mm-hmm.
Although I know a couple local DJs like to cut over our joints.
Hey,
you had O-Rig on yours.
That's more respectable than just like jacking a beat tape and rapping over it, though. Because at least you're like part of the DJ culture.
Well, and I think, kind of tying in all of that is like, I feel like there is kind of the house of hip hop is a little divided right now in like the relations between MCs and producers is kind of messed up. And
there's DJs too, which Wigs, I guess Wigs is both. Yeah. But
a lot of it's kind of like, just the whole dynamic has changed as far as with the internet and stuff, and MCs want to be producers themselves and think they can just pick and choose this and that beat and put together a whole project, and like they don't even need us. So, you know, I think this beat tape culture is a way so we can kind of, you know, flex our own stuff and have fun and, you know, showcase our own skills without worrying about playing the placement game or worrying about having to have another artist to validate our craft, etc.
I go back and forth as an MC and a producer. You know, sometimes I'm making things for someone to be on, and then other times I'm kind of like you. It gets busy. I start filling it up, and I hear this. I want to put something there, and then it becomes this thing where it's its own masterpiece by itself almost. It doesn't really need somebody. And I've actually had people come to me before and ask for beat tapes or beat CDs just to listen to. And it's usually I'll just pick like some instrumentals of songs that I've wrote to. But you guys are definitely making me want to just put some beats out there.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of future to it, man. I think it's going to be it already is growing, and I think there's a little bit of a conceptual hump we got to get over with a lot of people, you know, like, oh, where's the vocals? People who aren't really like head certified, you know. But I think there's a lot of future in people who just want to listen to beats.
Yeah.
It's true. And I was even saying, well, it's funny, I wanted to hit on Bearded Iris real quick just because, you know, of course, the Cypher still goes on there on Tuesday, and Wigs DJ'd that cypher recently.
Shouts out to Mike.
Yeah, which was dope. And I guess it was kind of a like unofficial early release of the tape too. It was for sale there. So at the same time, you had mentioned the idea of doing like a beat night. And I think that would be cool. And I think maybe like, because Porter kind of does that. Like, you can, except for just it would be people rapping over it. But I mean, he has the opportunity for people to bring beat tapes up and play them. But what I was getting at is that they recently have hooked up the speakers by the bar and also outside, but they're only piping the music out there to those two areas. They're not piping the vocals. So, like, if you want to hear the rap, you like go kind of walk over by the cypher and watch it.
But if you're sitting at the bar, it's just the beats playing and you can talk. So it's like, or outside likewise, which is what people want, you know? It's like,
that's
it's
cool.
And even now we're like talking over the whole projects, which is like, you know, we plan to duck in and out. I guess
it's
we're going to just talk through the whole thing.
Beats right there.
We're just having a little barbecue right now.
Yeah.
But I did want to hit on one thing for with Wigs is that this is a collaborative beat tape. We're like a number of other producers, mostly from Knoxville, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Worked on this with you, so let's talk about just them individually, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. There is one other Nashville-based beatmaker on here. That's Sam Day, originally from Nashville, still residing here in Nashville. He's incredible. His stuff's the layering to his stuff is absolutely nuts. I compare him to Pharrell a lot, and just in his understanding of like what sound should go where. But the rest of the guys are based out of Knoxville. I'm in a crew called the Good Guy Collective. We got members both in Nashville and Knoxville, and so the rest of them, that includes Tengu, Young Freeman, Modify, and Sir Woods Brother, which is an alias for Black Atticus. And so they all contributed to this, so I definitely can't take all the credit for this. I'm only 1/6 of this beat tape, and maybe a tenth of its talent.
I gotta shout out Black Atticus too, because first off, we've had him on the bill at Memphis the Milk Crate one time in the past, but he also was like the first person that put me on a show back when I was a student in Knoxville, and
he's
just
an icon,
started. Yeah, so like he was doing stuff a lot bigger than me back then, and gave me some great opportunities, so I always shout him out whenever his name comes up.
I'm working on an EP with him right now too.
Nice. Yeah, I wanted to, I guess, hit on some of the other MCs and bands you've worked with, in addition to, you know, we just rattled off all the producers, I think, from the tape. But, and for those who may not know, Wigs is from Knoxville, if I'm not mistaken, originally, right?
But born and raised in Chattanooga, then migrated out to Knoxville to go to school, and then made my way out west, out this way, here to Nashville.
Right. So I met him being coming from Knoxville, I guess, as a correction there. But yeah, different. So the band was
The Theorist.
The Theorist, right? Which Atticus was part of that as well, right?
Yeah, we had two lead MCs, Jay Bush and Black Atticus, and so those were. And then we had a couple lead guitarists, a bass guitarist, a drummer. Then I backed them up on turntables. That was pretty popular. That did pretty well for a good amount of time in Knoxville. We were pretty happy with the run that band had. But you know, as we were talking off air a little bit about bands and hip hop are sometimes hard to maintain. And sometimes, you know, the movement of band members in and out will sometimes send your entire process into a crisis.
Right.
We went through so many drummers. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, and shout out to Jay Bush, too. He was the other MC from Knoxville that came down with Atticus when we did have them down from Memphis the Milk Crate. And he killed it, too, and I already knew he would from checking out his music.
Yeah, and if I could plug for my man a little bit, he's actually got a new project that just came out yesterday called Power Up. So he'll be having a release party this weekend in Knoxville, along with Modify, who was featured on the tape. He has a new project out called Levels. Both of those available on all streaming platforms, so make sure you check out both of those projects. Dope hip-hop.
Speaking of dope hip-hop, let's let some of this music
ride for a
minute. Yeah, let's
let that ride for a while. We've been talking to him.
This is DJ Wigs and Friends on the Barbecue and Baked Beats mixtape.
Yeah, appreciate y'all tuning in.
insurance open, huh? Good luck with that, you hippie morons.
Hey, yo, Mario brother. Think you could back off? I'm trying to create a meat-free zone over here. Thank you.
Oh, come on. Blow it out your ass, fancy pants.
Whoa.
Please, I could do what you do. I like big brats, and I cannot lie to you about it. Actually, you know, that's pretty hard, actually. I'm not gonna lie.
Appreciate that.
Call this stuffed hamburger helper. It does just fine by itself, huh? I like it better than tuna helper myself. Don't you, Clark?
You're the gourmet around here, Ed.
race.
Or somebody just came up on some meat. A truck fell over. Just was like, we finna barbecue for the next 2 weeks straight.
Yeah. Actually, there was going to be some grilled salmon. Mm-hmm. But what happened was Teddy took the money for that and bought weed with it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, for this barbecue, there's a little more profanity than we might have at our barbecue. A little more drug references. Actually, our drug references would be zero. So way more drug references. A little like louder volume and rap music. We don't usually have rap music.
From the Barbecue and Baked Beats project by DJ Wiggs and Friends. That includes Sam Day, Tengu, Young Freeman Modify, and Sir Wood's brother. Let the people know the best place to find that online, DJ Wiggs.
You know, the entire MO that I had with this project was to make it as easy to find as I possibly could. So it's available on all the major streaming platforms, whether you're an Apple Music user, Spotify, Tidal, Amazon, Google, and probably about 45 other ones that I don't remember off the top of my head. It's also available on all the minor streaming platforms as well. So you can find it on Bandcamp, you can find it on Mixcloud, you can find it on SoundCloud. Just Google it. It's out there. It's easy to find. It's not only available on cassette. However, if you do want to cop the cassette, that is available on my Bandcamp page right now. And I do want to point out that every single dollar of the proceeds from the sale of this cassette go to the ACLU. This is a way that we've been trying to raise some money for them to help get kids out of cages that Trump's using as political fodder. So, every dollar goes to the ACLU. You're doing good things when you buy this cassette.
Word.
Should have mentioned that a long time ago.
I know. I should have led with that.
We're just about to get into the next beat tape, which was produced by our other guest who's been over here and chiming in from time to time through the first half of the show. Yeah. So I know you can check him out at newbangproductions.com. And if you want to shout out, I don't know if the tapes are available. I know you're delivering them, though.
But I'm out here. I'll pull up. All social media is at newbangbeats, so you can find me on anything. It's also on all the streaming digital platforms. Got the tape on the Bandcamp, so that's newbanghiphop.bandcamp.com. And check that out. I guess it's coming in here. We're going to take you on.
So now we're transitioning from the Wiggs Project to the New Bang Productions Project.
Valley of the Tiki Beats.
Valley of the Tiki Beats. Which I'm going to be continuing, so this is not just like a
volume one
project. Yeah, this is volume one. I'm going to take it as far as I can.
So, should we talk a little bit about
these cuts?
Let it play for a minute?
Yeah, let's listen to it.
So who was that on the cuts right there?
That was DJ Orig. Shout out DJ Orig. I had him. I got a bunch of jungle sounds from Exotica Records and had him just do a crazy scratch fest on there.
He got busy.
Yeah, definitely.
Orig's been around for a while too, man. Because when I first moved here like 10 years ago, he was doing.
Well, he was part of Mashville.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I believe, wasn't he?
Yeah. Along with, like, Wicked, Kids Meal. Anyone needs some cuts, man? Hit him up. He's
A good dude, too.
Yeah.
A good dude.
Yeah, he won the Red Bull DJ competition some years ago.
Really?
The Style Clash, I think is what it was called.
Three Style?
Three Style, that's it. The Red Bull Three Style, yeah. Killed it. I mean, absolutely, possibly deserved that win.
Nice. That's cold. I know, I think... I judged one of those, and Wicked was in it. I don't believe he won, though. He maybe got second or something. But it was fresh, man. That's a cool party. Let's see. Oh, yeah, so we...
You were going to talk about some samples.
Well, we were going to talk about... I was just still on the DJ Three Style thing for a second there. Anyhow, let's talk about just the sort of theme of the project. I'm looking at the graphic design. It's super fresh, by the way, on the cover of this
tape. That was DJ Mike Vulcan drew.
Okay, word. He's affiliated with Nashville,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, part of it.
That's my boy. I grew up with him. He's basically one who taught me how to make beats.
Oh, nice. I've known him for some time as well. Shout out to all those guys and the Nashville crew and everything. But yeah, so the theme of the project is about like tiki culture. So why don't I think I'm asking on behalf of all of us for you to educate us a little bit about that. So
well, basically, all the samples in the record comes from Exotica Records, which is kind of a blanket term for kind of this like island pop theme stuff. What happened after World War II is a lot of these Joes came over and carried a lot of this. The love for like the Polynesian stuff, and it kind of got remixed into this kind of kitschy American version of that. So you had like tiki themed bars and restaurants and hotels springing up all over America with that kind of island decor and with the tikis. And with that, they had a music style, which was like pioneered by mostly Hawaiian guys in resorts. And you had people like Martin Denny, Les Baxter, and it's kind of like a kind of this mix of what an island would sound like, you know, in your imagination. And so you got like marimbas and jungle sounds and percussion and piano and all kinds of stuff going on to kind of like take you to that atmosphere, you know. And so I was always into this kind of stuff. I'm definitely not the first one to sample this stuff, but I really wanted to make like a whole thematic project because it's kind of a joke too. You know, a lot of people make hip hop beats. It's like, oh, another damn lounge record. You know, like, it's like, but you like know, I was records. Like, I'm gonna find gold in it. You know?
So yeah, you had mentioned when we were talking about Ulrich doing the cuts that he had used the samples from similar sort of theme and stuff or whatever. That's interesting too.
Yeah, I assembled a bunch of the jungle sounds for him and was like, man, just scratch these all up over it.
That's dope.
Yeah, I wanted to hit on just the sort of broader idea of sample-based hip-hop production as compared to, you know, potentially like live bands or just sort of keyboard-based synthesized beats, right. And
I do gotta say real quick too though, they actually got a bunch of musicians on this also.
Oh, nice.
So I like making things sound like, you know, making samples sound like a real instrument, making a real instrument sound like it's a sample. So I got a guitarist
on this project.
Yeah, yeah. I got a friend of mine, Braden Land, on there playing guitar. I got Mike Carr plays bass on almost all these tracks, I think. He's a great bass player. And then I got my homegirl, Trumpet Woman from Brooklyn, playing trumpet on the second to last song, Tijuana Grass. So I did have some live instruments in there.
Super
also.
Fresh. That's cool.
But yeah, as far as sampling, you know, it's a very creative way of making music, and it's real fun. I've been making, you know, sample based stuff since I've been making beats, but it's cool to find. That's why, you know, I did this too. I'm trying to find like different sample sources and not just still like, I love making soul funk based stuff, but you know, it's like it's cool to take some other kind of music that hasn't been as touched by hip hop and make it hip hop. That's the coolest thing about hip hop.
I always love digging into like jazz and classical too, even though that's been done a lot in hip hop certainly as well. But it's particularly with jazz because of the different time signatures, it takes a lot more work to make it be what you want it to be in the hip hop form or in the hip hop world or whatever.
It's definitely not 4/4 when it comes to jazz.
You gotta chop it up though and make it work.
Yep.
Right?
takes effort and a good ear for it, you know.
Get your Ginsu knife and chop that up.
I wanted to throw back to the previous New Bang Productions project too, which was we have played some of those beats on the program in the past, and I remember we had Mickey Kool-Aid call in one time when shortly after they had jointly released the East Nashville Girls song.
Yeah, it worked.
But the previous project is dope too, so I'm sure you can find it online along with the other, you know, with the other where those links we had shouted out.
The Mickey Kool-Aid song is everywhere digitally, and then my old beat tapes are on the Bandcamp at newbankhiphop.bandcamp. I got Backpackers Don't Buy Beats.
And that was the one I was thinking of. We had played in the past.
Yeah. I love that title.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. Cool. I'm getting some flack for it, but whatever.
There's a whole story about it on the liner notes, too. I remember when it first came out, he gave me one and I was reading it.
Cool, yeah.
But yeah, shout out to Mickey Kool-Aid, too. He comes through the Cypher on Tuesday nights all the time and always brings the energy level up when he gets there with his ways. And he's a DJ as well who plays out some places, I think, right? Doesn't he regularly? Or seems like he plays regularly some places. But real dope MC. Always good to see him.
So I'm always curious, and I'll ask this of both you guys, where your inspiration came from the beginning. What was it that drew you to music or got you into doing what you do?
Well, I mean, I was always around music. My mom made music and stuff, but when I was real young, you know, I mean, kind of West Coast hip hop was king. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid in Arizona, when I moved here in 95, I got more into rock music and stuff, and then eventually, you know, with a lot of the we were a bunch of like the East Nashville punk rocker kids, and we eventually got into hip hop, kind of taking that same DIY attitude into hip hop. We had guys who were a couple years older who kind of like handed down the some equipment and stuff, and so we would all congregate at my boy DJ Mike Vulcan's house, and you know, we would just mess around on all this stuff, and that's where I first learned about hip hop production. And just went from there. I just kind of messed around for a long time, but around 07, when I got my first MPC, is when I really started taking it seriously.
Got real.
Yeah. So it was always just kind of hobbyish, but after I got that, I was like, oh, man.
That's funny, because that was that thing back in the day, like, if you got that MPC, like, everybody wanted to get that MPC.
That was really the piece
that you needed.
It was a game changer for me.
But Wiggs, what about you? Same question.
I've always been a fan, and I consider myself a fan first before anything else, and that's the whole reason that I got into DJing, is I wanted to play my favorite music. I kind of came of age musically around the same time that New Bang did. West Coast Hip Hop was king. Doggy Style and The Chronic were my first favorite albums, then G-Funk era and all that. A little later on, Wu-Tang really made me a fanatic. I think that's when I transitioned from being just a casual fan that proudly listened to nothing else other than hip hop to being obsessive, wanting to know each one of the group member names, wanting to own each one of their solo albums, and all that. And then eventually around age 16, I bought my first set of turntables and started collecting records.
There you go.
And that took me for a while. And it's kind of funny, New Bank City got his first MPC in 2007. That's actually the year I got an MPC, actually, as well. What was wild, though, is the girl I was with at the time, she was like, hey, she goes, I think I want to start making beats. What do you think I should get? And I was like, well, you should definitely get an MPC. So she copped one of those.
We'll do it together. We'll learn together.
I mean, basically, so she used it a few times, and then I picked it up. I use that actually all the way up until it got stolen from me. It's not good. But it was inspirational, actually. It was good. It gave me a good little kick that I needed. But that's what brought me there. And eventually, I was told by people for a long time that I should make beats because it's just such a natural transition from DJing to beat making. But also because I had the record collection for it as well.
What do you like more?
What do I like more? Yeah. At this time of my life, I like making beats more.
I'm
always going to love DJing, and I enjoy playing parties and doing that. But at this point, beat making is what I get the most
joy out
of.
Something about just being locked in the studio and just...
I like it.
Just
I like
knocking
it.
Them out.
Yeah. I like it when it's dark, foggy, and, you know, beats are loud.
All right, well, he got an opportunity to ask both people a question. I'm going to ask both people the same question I ask guests frequently. But with a little bit of a twist, first off, with the twist is to just mention some MCs you guys have worked with in the past. I know Newbang had mentioned a couple I hadn't heard of, so I want to make sure I get those on the air. And then just so the twist on the question is, normally I ask people who their favorite artists are, but I'm asking you guys who you want to work with that you haven't yet, besides Al D.
Well, some of the people I have worked with, of course, Mickey Kool-Aid, if I can, when I can get him in the studio. But besides that, did a bunch of stuff with a homie of mine, Bloomfield Trev. He's got a few projects out. Been working with Germ X for a long time. Want to do some new stuff with him. He's got a few of my beats tucked. I guess he's working on, I don't know. Let me know, Germ. And as far as who I'd like to work with, I don't know. I've been kind of just antisocial recently.
It doesn't have to be rappers.
I really like working with musicians and stuff. I'm really wanting to get out of my shell a little bit and produce more. But I really, honestly, I'm at this point now where I want to be an actual producer. And I don't want to be like a workhorse and like record people, mix it, master it, everything. Right. I want to come with the beat, or we can make the beat together. I want some studio time, have an engineer so I can actually be a producer. Mm-hmm. And that's my one thing, you know, with MCs right now is like, it's a Nashville thing too, because a lot of people don't understand why a lot of the Nashville industry doesn't respect us. It's because we're not really paying into a lot of it. And, you know, these are all different jobs, and people aren't being paid to do their jobs. You know, people going to studios and not wanting to hire an engineer, so you got the intern kid just sitting at the desk, you know, getting paid half of what he could be paid, and, you know, you're not going to get the recommendations, and you got to feed into it. So that's my thing now. So if I do work with artists, I really want to be able to be a producer.
Yeah.
And not have five jobs in one. Right. That's kind of why I gave up on it for a while, but I want to get back into it.
On my tip, I mentioned earlier that I'm part of a crew called the Good Guy Collective, both based here in Nashville and Knoxville. So I've done a number of work with them. I was one third of the trio Plunderphonics for the one EP project we put out several years ago. Also done some extensive work with Black Atticus. Lane Shuler, a.k.a. One Hour Photo, has got a new project that's set to drop here. And we don't have a release date set for it yet, but I'd say out of the 20-something tracks that's on there, I did probably about 90% of them. So that'll be out here before you know it. As far as people I'd like to work with, I've got my eye on a couple Nashville cats that I'd love to work with. B.A. the Lou, if you're listening, man, I would love to kick you some stuff. Rem Still, for you also, man. And of course, the biggest honor in my life is if I ever end up on an Al D project. So,
you did some cuts on an Al D project.
I did.
I was just thinking about that right after I said smart ass.
I mean, if we had to talk about big name dreams, of course, I probably got some of the same names that everybody does. Right. But I mean, if I ever, you know, heard any of my beats behind, you know, Doom, Nas, Ghostface, MCs like that, that would be a dreamlike scenario for me. But, you know, overall, a lot like Newbang, I'm kind of really, really kind of on that groove of...
the beat-tech culture.
I'm just really, really kind of... I love this idea as the beatmaker, as the sole artist on a project and showing it is what it is that we're capable of without feeling like your work is incomplete without
like
the presence of an
song.
MC.
Yeah.
We don't make half songs. We make complete...
Right.
What I'm looking for, not compilation.
Let's let some of them ride then.
Let's do it.
This is Newbang and Valley of the Tiki Beats.
So for about the last 30 minutes, you've been hearing The Valley of the Tiki Beats by our guest, New Bang Productions, who's here in the studio with us. And the 30 minutes prior to that, you were hearing Barbecue and Baked Beats by DJ Wiggs and Friends of the Good Guy Collective.
I feel like we almost could have just did the show with just the music.
Right, like what are nothing we even else. Talking about?
Right. But it's good to get some education on the beat tape culture that's happening because, it, like I said, it takes me back. So I'm all about it.
I'm waiting for that ET beat tape now.
Yeah.
Hey, you might end up seeing it. You might end up seeing it.
It might have been playing when I walked in.
Some of it might have. Some of it.
He had some playing. Oh, no, those weren't
I'll
shows,
do that. Though. I'll just have some stuff playing in the background, you know, just to kind of see what people do to it.
He's testing the market out.
Right, exactly. Market research.
Well, we've sort of co-hosted the show this week here, myself and E.T. Yes, of course, yes. We're here every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m.
Check us out.
On WRFN LP Pasquo. And I want to thank Radio Free Nashville for giving us a place to do this and Nashville French Festival for sponsoring the program.
What up,
I want
Jam?
To thank you guys for coming out here to talk with us and share these great beat tapes and enlighten us about beat tape culture and tiki culture. And we didn't even get into the drinks part. I forgot about that, but
we'll do that after the show.
Yeah, we're gonna get into the drinks afterwards, but appreciate you guys coming out. And thanks to all you for tuning in as well. And thanks for co-hosting with me, E.T.
All right.
And I guess we're out of here. Y'all got any shout outs or anything? I think we might have a minute or so here.
Yeah.
Good Guy Collective. All day, every day.
Just you can catch me on all social media at New Bang Beats, and valleyofthetikibeats.com is a good gateway to all the platforms that's on. Get the tape at newbanghiphop.bandcamp.com.
And make sure y'all don't sleep on Men for the Milk Crate, Saturday, September 8th, coming up at the Cobra. It's the mixtape release party. We're dropping a mixtape. All songs by artists who have performed at Men for the Milk Crate in the past. CDs included with the cover, so come through and check out this Nashville Hip Hop stylings.
We'll see you guys here next week, Monday, 6 to 7 p.m.
Peace.